You're listening to Stateside from Michigan Radio. I'm Cynthia Canty. The most racially uneven housing market recovery in the nation belongs to West Michigan. That's a conclusion of a national study done by the Urban Institute. They examined 100 million mortgages from 2001 to 2013, and their conclusion has opened some eyes in West Michigan. Taz George is a researcher with the Urban Institute's Housing Finance Policy Center. Taz, why is this? Why does West Michigan have the most racially lopsided housing market recovery in the country?
Yeah, well, you know, this is actually a trend that we've seen across the country. When we looked at mortgage data over the course of the housing boom and bust, we found a huge racial disparity of when different borrowers entered the mortgage market. During the peak years of housing prices in around 2005 and 2006, African Americans and Hispanics were disproportionately likely to enter the market, whereas if you fast forward just a few years later, when prices had dropped and interest rates were historically low in recent years, like 2010 and 11, we see the exact opposite occurring, and we see African American and Hispanic borrowers virtually locked out of the market. And that trend has continued into 2013 as well. A big factor here is the fact that credit standards have fluctuated so dramatically over the course of the boom and bust. And in recent years, we've seen much, much tighter lending standards than we did not only during the housing bubble, but before the bubble even began. And that's really disproportionately impacting African American and Hispanic households.
So in essence, African American and Hispanics were able to get homes back in those days when everything was looser. We were way too jolly with handing out mortgages. So now after the collapse, lenders have tightened guidelines and minorities are especially being left out in the cold. Does that kind of nail it?
That's right. But it's important to emphasize that it's been an overcorrection from those years of the height of the boom that you mentioned when, you know, we did have some reckless lending practices going on where you could get a loan without even really having your credit record fully verified. But we're comparing also back to 2001, which is really more of a typical year in the housing market before the housing bubble even began. And even when we compare to 2001, lending standards today are much tighter. If you look at the FICO score of new mortgages, of the borrowers taking out new mortgages, and compare 2013 to 2001, we see a 40-point increase in the average FICO score of new borrowers. So it's really much, much harder to get a loan for everyone today than it was before the bubble.
Which is that a bad thing? I mean, do we want to slip back into those days of people getting mortgages they can't keep up with?
Well, that's a really good point, Cindy, but it's actually important to maintain a balance between extending credit to qualified borrowers and reducing risk in the market. If we have too much risk, then we risk another recession and a housing bubble like what we just went through. But if we overcorrect and if we maintain the state of lending standards today, that spells trouble in a lot of other ways. It's an equity issue for all the households that aren't able to qualify for a mortgage, but it's also an issue for the broader economy because you have fewer qualified borrowers who can participate in the housing market. But really, you know, one thing that's very concerning is if we go 10, 20 years down the road, this recession and the unevenness of the recovery really has long-term implications for who's able to accrue wealth and savings for retirement. We know that household equity and homeownership can be a very important vehicle for savings for families. And what we've just gone through is a period of really a great opportunity to purchase a home because prices and interest rates were so low in the years following the recession. So the fact that there may have been, and in fact there were, thousands and tens of thousands of qualified borrowers who weren't able to participate, weren't able to buy a home at that time because of tightened lending, and not because they couldn't afford the home, but simply because they couldn't qualify, that really has dramatic implications for the future.
Taz, what's behind the overcorrection, do you think?
Yeah, it's a very complicated question. But one of the key issues is that lenders have instituted what are called overlays to what is the minimum creditworthiness that they'll accept to make a loan. And part of what they're saying is that there's too much regulatory uncertainty for them to make these loans to low FICO borrowers that might default. And that has to do with the way that lenders sell their loans to government entities, Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. And what happens when a loan defaults ordinarily is that Fannie and Freddie have guaranteed the loss on that loan. But in some cases, they can force the lender to repurchase that loan. And lenders are saying that that is creating too much risk for them because they can't predict when a loan will be repurchased. And in response, they've almost altogether stopped extending credit to borrowers with less than a pristine credit history.
So it sounds like there should be a greater push to help these folks boost their credit scores and build credit in the right way.
That's definitely one important solution. There's ways we can help borrowers boost their credit scores. There's also potentially a way we could better calculate borrowers' credit scores, especially for those that don't have as long and deep of a credit history. And federal regulators are working on implementing a new measure of the FICO score. So one thing that federal regulators can do is take more steps to restore certainty for lenders as to when a loan that defaults could be repurchased. And that's something that there's been progress on just this week with a key housing policy regulator, the director of the Federal Housing Finance Agency, announcing new measures to address that problem. And another important measure that's been introduced is more steps to allow borrowers that do have very solid credit to get a loan with a smaller down payment than they would normally be able to.
You know, Taz, as I look at your results of this study of the most racially uneven housing market recoveries in the top five cities, you had Detroit, Warren, Dearborn, number five, then three areas in California, and then Grand Rapids, Wyoming at number one. So here's Michigan at fifth and first. Were you surprised by those findings?
We were surprised, but what it comes down to is that the recession hit Michigan's economy especially hard. We know that unemployment in Grand Rapids reached 12%, in Detroit 16%. And within these cities, the effects of the recession appear to have been even more concentrated within communities of color. We actually mapped out the mortgage data so we could see geographically where were changes in lending patterns occurring. And what did surprise us was the extent to which new mortgage activity in majority African-American sections of Grand Rapids and Detroit have practically disappeared since the bubble burst, and there's been very little recovery. Whereas predominantly white and suburban areas, they also took a hit in the downturn, but they've had a stronger recovery, whereas the inner city parts of Detroit, for example, are still practically devoid of new mortgages.
Yeah, the maps on your study are stunning to show that. You're absolutely right. So what do we have to take away from your study, and what's the challenge?
I think the challenge is figuring out how can we responsibly open the credit box back up so that eligible, qualified borrowers can participate in the housing market. And the takeaway is there's a big risk if we don't tackle this challenge, and that's that we are keeping an entire segment of the population from being able to purchase a home and to benefit from, you know, the potential opportunities for savings over the long term.
And as you said earlier, that that long-term economic repercussion is something that would really be felt.
Absolutely.
Taz, thank you so much for speaking with us.
Thank you.
Taz George is a researcher with the Urban Institute Housing Finance Policy Center.